Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
So what I want to talk to you about, we've been doing this series, right, about when grace meets, grace stories, and because we don't want to, you know, as we get through this year, there's a couple of things I want to speak more into about the kindness of God. Remember a few weeks ago I used this verse about it's the undeserved kindness of God. I love that word kindness. I've been really thinking about it actually. You know when something just, there's a wee moment sometimes you go, kindness, now that sounds like a weak word, kindness. Kind sounds a wee bit sort of, but it's not actually. And it's the undeserved kindness of God. And we're going to talk about that. But I want to minister to you today into an area which is really, really important. And what happens when grace meets your sickness? Now, listen to me, and let me tell you why this is important. I was thinking this week, I'm going to do a series on healing, but I just felt like for right now, this is a word for you this morning. Do you get me? What happens when God's grace, unmerited love, and God's favor meets the dysfunction in your body and in your mind? And let me tell you why it's important. I was telling you recently about our epic journey, our epic voyage across Loch Earn as a family, as we set off towards Lusty Beg with me at the helm, driving this wee boat. Remember that? And I loved it. There was just one thing concerned me. There was a hole in the bottom of the thing. All right, see, for people who don't know about boats, I didn't realize they actually have holes to let water out. That doesn't make sense to me, right? You figured this out. I said to the, what's that for? Oh, that's for the water that comes in to be pumped out. I'm like, what? Flip, what's going on? I'm taking my family into this boat and going across Loch Earn, and you're saying there's a hole in the bottom of it? Don't you worry about it. It's all fine. It's all good. So I, trusting the one who knows about boats, got into the thing thinking, well, it's all fine. Anyway, I've got this massive big life jacket on and it's all going to be fine. But it's, do you know what's really interesting? We did make it back clearly, but what's really interesting is why this matters to you this morning is it's not possible, whilst it might be possible in a boat, and there was something about the way that thing is wired up that it can get the water. I didn't understand. But if there was a hole genuinely in the bottom of the boat, sometimes what we do is we kind of go, I'm going to go across here, right? And let's take it the journey of life, if you will. But I'm going to do it every day, and I'm going to live with little holes in the bottom of my boat, all right? And thinking that as long as I can keep getting through, then it doesn't really matter if there's water getting in somewhere. Do you get that? And actually this week I was thinking about it going, I don't know why that was in the bottom of that boat, but what I do understand is when it comes to stuff like this morning, I'm going to take it really slow because I just want this word to land with somebody and I want somebody to receive healing this morning. So if you're sick in your body or in your mind this morning, right now, as the word comes, the word of God is life and health to you. Isn't that good? So whether it's, and I'm going to take it from a slightly different angle to get you to think differently, but his words are life and health every time. And you can't live with different holes, all right, with water letting in, okay, and expect that you're going to get through to the other side and with your feet dry, let me put it that way. Do you get that? And eventually, if you stick long enough in water with a hole in the bottom of the boat, you're going down, all right? May take longer than somebody else. You might get slightly further than someone, but actually, it's not possible. There needs to be wholeness, and there needs to be, we need to, not in terms of plug the gaps, but understand that we can't live with things in our head and our heart where we just let them sit and go, sure, it'll be all right. And this morning, actually this week, I was thinking about that when it comes to the area of healing. And there's, you know, it's interesting for me. I'm not on Facebook, but when I was on Facebook, it was just absolutely remarkable how people would take absolute lumps out of each other. When it comes to stuff like this, I just think, have you got no life? Like, seriously? And in the bad old days, I would have joined in. And it actually says, and I remember reading this verse in Titus 3, it says, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable and useless. You know? Totally unprofitable and useless. And even me saying this morning, because I'm not going to talk about does God heal or not. That's not the point. It's about what kind of Jesus do you worship and serve? And then you'll understand whether he heals or not. Because, you know, is it God's will to heal? The rationale goes like this. Normally, I prayed. I know every one of you right now will have something, either in your own body or people around you, and there's something to do with them living not in wholeness. Isn't that right? Now, wholeness is really what, for me, what is the key to this. And it's about widening out, what grace does is it just expands your view of Jesus. And so, and I think that sometimes under law, what we've done, we've got things the wrong way around. So it's that in that, what am I doing in order to receive is quite pervasive. And actually what grace does is it takes you out, totally reverses and puts Jesus in the center. And when Jesus becomes really big, you actually get a different view and perspective. So if you're going to struggle this morning, actually, sometimes, even when I start to say this, this is grace meeting your lack of wholeness, okay? And what happens whenever God's grace meets where you have a need? And so does that make sense? Some people will say, I prayed and didn't change anything, therefore, ergo, God's will is. The issue, therefore, God is created and recreated through the experience of many individuals. Who's ever been sick? Let me see your hands. All right, okay. Ever visited a doctor? That might make you sick, actually. Taken a pill, legal or otherwise. We don't like it, do we? Let's just get real for a wee minute. We don't like being sick. Isn't that right? It's not body or mind. There's something in us instinctively that wants it to be different. What's it like when your kids are sick? Do you go, oh, thank God. It's good for them to learn the lesson of life. Or do you do everything in your power to make them better, right? Now, I want you to think about how Jesus is ministering to you this morning. Because in the same way that there's something intuitive and instinctive about wholeness for us, it's multiplied so much more. So today is not about theology, right? The last thing you need whenever you're sick is to meet someone with a sound theological argument. Isn't that right? Oh, thank goodness I met you. You're going to be able, oh, really? Is that what it means? You know, whenever you're sick, what do you want? Healing, right? And so today I just want to, because what I know is true as I'm standing here is that in the church, and particularly churches like us, because I'm absolutely committed to never backing down on the fact that Jesus is your healer, ever, okay? But what we can't do is just allow, if you allow one little bit of ingress when it comes to faith, okay? When it comes to believing, go, well, actually, it rots everything. Water gets in one place and the whole thing sinks. And don't kid yourself that you can live with those things. Just, it's okay to bring it to the Lord and say, help me. But what I can't do is renegotiate Jesus and his work. Grace doesn't allow me to do that. Grace just keeps bringing Jesus back to the very center of everything, of who I am and what I do. You know, keeps bringing me back to that place where I have to look at him, not to the side, not to the left or the right, or to the opinions of others or what my own experience says. But as Phil says, what's my external point of reference? Actually, in one sense, external is the word. And in one sense, it's internal. It's the witness of Jesus in us. These two things working together, but it's not us on our own or everybody else. It's him, who he is and what he has done. Yeah. And so where are you now? Let me just say this. Remember, I love Ireland, right? Remember, some of you know this story, but some of you won't. I was looking for, years ago, I had a McGann coupe. They were dead cool back in the day. See when they came out? But mine was yellow. Remember those yellow McGann coupes, right? Don't judge me. It was awesome. All right. It was a company car. I only had it for 6 months. But I remember we were doing something in church, my last church, and I had to go to the Fife's factory, the banana factory. And this is true. And, right? And it's a Dundalk or Drogheda, no, down there. And so I remember going down, not thinking anything off it, right? And I pulled up at the side of the road and this man sauntered up to me and said, ah, you'll be looking for foifs, will you? And I went, or something like that, Pakistani Irishman, right? And you'll be looking for foifs. And that's Cork, you'll be looking for foifs. And I went, how do you know? And he just looked at the car. And I went, no, this is my company car. I don't work for them. And then I said this question. I said, well, how do you get there? And without any, he just said, well, it depends where you're starting from. And I went, what about here? I went, well, if you'd be starting from here, what you do? And then he went that way. And but if you're starting from somewhere else, you'd be, and I'd be like, oh, okay. Where are you starting from? Flipping heck. I don't know. It's kind of some existential question. I don't know. It's like, I'm right here, mate. And I just thought, only in Ireland. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm here. Get me to Fife's, will you? And it's funny. I don't know where your starting place is when it comes to this. Whatever your day, the question, you know, I would have really encourage you is your position here or your lived experience, if you like, as well, coming from your revelation of Jesus from the inside out in your life? Or is it just a whole mixture of stuff? Because I honestly feel that today and this week, you're going to walk into new levels of healing. Because we can't sing about the bondage breaker. We can't sing about speaking life, that nothing is impossible, nothing is incurable, but allow such to be robbed of that truth in our hearts. Why? Because Jesus, in his love and in his grace, wants you whole. Now, wholeness is an interesting word because it goes way beyond the theology, okay? In the sense of wholeness, even when we start to apply wholeness, this is just something that's going around my head at the minute, into how we relate this gospel to people out there, all of a sudden changes the whole dynamic around social issues today, agendas today, all that stuff. When we talk about the God who wants you whole, that's a whole different, but I'll come to that later in the year. So you might be, well, God, you know, I don't think anybody who has a serious, you know, kind of grasp of Jesus would say, well, God just doesn't heal anymore. But some people do. The age of miracles has passed. It's gone. Impossible to teach that from the word of God. I would bet the farm on that one, if we were into betting. But, you know, because even if one person is healed post-Jesus, okay, then that argument is null and void. Can I just say, I have seen such healing in my own life, in my family's life, and so that argument doesn't stand. Sometimes he heals. This is the big one. This is the Russian roulette, Jesus. This is sometimes he'll heal you, sometimes he won't. Dominant thought, okay, is that it's not God's will, and you can't be absolutely sure that he wants you to be well. So God chooses some, and God then, by definition, doesn't choose others. He chooses or wills sickness for some people. Some receive the blessing of health, but some just have to pick up their cross. And see all this thing of pick up your cross and carry it? The only person I can read about who picked up my cross was Jesus. He picked up the cross for me. He carried it on his back, and he was nailed to it. And in that moment, over those days, I have no cross to carry, because any cross that I would have to carry would break my back. You know, it break your back too. You don't have to carry any cross. You let him carry it for you. God can bless you, some people think, because in the form of sickness, disease, pain, and death, you know, so that is the goodness of God. Have you ever been told? I was talking with an old friend this week. We had coffee, and he used to lead worship in this church, and we were talking about his family situation for him. And he was saying about that thing of, well, the biggest miracle is salvation. The biggest miracle is salvation. So pick up your cross now, because if the Lord doesn't want you well now, at least he's going to save you. Isn't that bonkers? Of course, the greatest miracle is salvation, right? But salvation, when did the Lord say salvation started? Today. Today is the day of God's goodness. Okay, eternity is just where you pass into, where there's fullness. But listen, it's not like, well, you get the worst wee bit today, and then somehow he's going to super bless you in eternity, right? He actually, why did sick people rush to Jesus? You see people out there today who are spending their time, their money, their effort, and everything else for wholeness. That's what they're looking for. That's what we long for, all right? And we have the power of Christ himself, who from the moment he set foot on this earth and began to minister, he said, I am the God of salvation. Today is the day, all right? Today means now, not when you die. That's in its fullness. But now you can believe and receive for all of the fullness and wholeness of God in your body and in your mind. It's not lovely. I just absolutely love that. So let me contend that although this is very, very difficult, it's very, very difficult to even assert from the word of God that the sort of inconsistency, it's riddled with inconsistency and difficulty, because actually it totally misunderstands the position or the nature of God whenever you go, well, sometimes he heals and sometimes he doesn't. Can I just say that is absolutely nothing from scripture. That is in your head and in your experience. So come and allow the grace of God to change you. And God knows, Penny and I have walked through. We have lost people. We have prayed for people and been through it all. So I'm not naive in any sense, okay? I'm not naive in any sense. But what I will not do is allow my lived experience that doesn't live up to what the word reveals to reshape my view of who he is. I cannot have that, because then all bets are off, all right? And so this morning, hopefully I'm being gentle enough with you to go, if this is in your heart, if you've got a hole underneath, get myself into trouble. And can I tell this story? When we were in a prophetic meeting years and years ago, and the woman stood up and there's all this, you know, the prophecy stand, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Remember all those days? And sing that song. Oh, Helen, I hope you were at this one. It was one of my best moments ever. I didn't do it, but I was standing in the front, and this woman got up, and she gave a prophecy about, you know, being full and not leaking anything to do, like a boat going across it, a bit like the thing I used. That's what was in my head. And then this other guy got up to say, yes, sister, I believe it. And he says, let's all thank Jesus that there's no holes in our bottom. And I went... At this point, I went, oh, my word, that's right. I was like, you know, you could have prophesied anything over me at this point. I was just like, I was on the floor completely. I was thinking, you know what? See these flipping crazy charismatics? There were so many funny moments, so many. And I was thinking, I'm not getting up to declare that one in Jesus' name. And so anyway, so the other thing is this. That's about elevating your own experience right over God revealed through the word. It just leads to roller coaster living. Up and down, not knowing whether you're stuffed or mounted. Can I just say that the third thing is good. It's always God. All this week, every single minute of every day, it is always the heart and will of Jesus to make you whole. And do not allow anyone to tell you anything any different. That's our position. It's the position of our church. Healing is provided for and it's received, okay, through faith. Sometimes people don't receive and that's the real issue. But what I want to do is this morning just magnify Jesus for you. Because you know what? Anxiety, I'm not just talking about your body. Anxiety, depression, fear, mental health issues, okay, are all included in the word Rophe, I'm the one who heals you. So it's not just about your body. If you are constantly worrying and being anxious, it's all on a scale, right? It's all on a line somewhere. Some people are up here and they're medicated for it. And some people are living with high levels of stress underneath all the time. All of that is short of God's wholeness for you, and he wants to heal you from it every time. That is the grace of God. He just doesn't love you out of your sin. He loves you into wholeness. Why? Because he is good. Because he is gracious. What is the point of living through life with, I mean, I've had a, Dr. Phil helped me last week with a wee, you know, with us elite athletes, what happens is we, after running the second leg of that marathon, you know, and I really hurt my neck. It's kind of weird, you know, it's probably because I'm too fat to be running. He was too kind to say that. But the thing is, right, he hit me a day last week before the service, actually. But, you know, all this, I haven't really slept very well because it's still quite sore, but it's getting better, you know, and I was just thinking, it actually impacts on everything. Do you get that? Plus Penny was away. Plus had no washing, with no milk. And do you know what? And right? But you know that thing of it where it's just gnawing at you and it's just really, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's just, when I was waking up in the morning, I had this shooting pains over my head and going, oh, opening my eyes in the morning, going, flip, I better get through. I've got to get through because she's away to South Africa on her holidays. And same, it's all coming out now. But isn't it interesting? Just let me ask you about what kind of Jesus you're believing for, all right? Where we sing, he's our healer, he wants me blessed, I am highly favored. But when the interesting thing about Rophe being whole is if that's out of whack, everything else goes, doesn't it? How you see things, how you approach things. I've been a wee bit grouchy at times this week and a wee bit short-tempered and irritable. No more than normal, probably, the kids would say. But you understand what I'm saying. Now, let me ask you the question. Is that the very best for you? Does that line up with Jesus revealed and what he's done for you? Do you have conditions that you've just gone, this is the way that it is? Have you, honestly? I really felt the Lord say, just let me gently lift your head up for more. Because five times more in your life means five times more health, fitness, vitality, and fullness. That is the message of the gospel. Is there stuff where we've just gone even under grace? But that's the way that it is. Or do we need to see Abba again? Do we need to see Jesus? Look into his eyes and just allow us to transfer our sickness, transfer our anxiety, transfer our worry back to him and receive wholeness instead. Amen? Because it's not just when we have crises of soreness. But I actually felt, you know what? I feel over the next, you know, weeks and months, I honestly feel this into the level of conditions. That what put it in my head this week, I just felt the Lord say, there are conditions that people are living with, all right, that we've just gone, but that's just the way that it is. And the Lord went, hold on a minute. What kind of hole is that underneath your book? Because that seeps in everywhere. And I have so much more for you. It's this Jesus loving you, looking you right in the face and going, I have so much more for you this morning. Right? All the days of your life, salvation, wholeness. Okay, so does that make sense? So this is not going to be a moment just where you kind of go, oh, yes. You know, because when I say to you, does Jesus heal? Everyone in a church like this will say yes. Then I say, well, what's your lived experience? Can we just poke at that a little bit? Because I kind of felt like, I kind of feel like it's a key for some people to experience more of God, to experience more grace, because those little doubts that sit in our head can eat away and gnaw away at everything. So let me get into the word very quick. Is this okay? Yeah, okay, well. All right. I just got to say, you can't hold both. I love it when Pastor Prince ministers, and I'll put it up on Facebook this week. It's on Facebook. He ministers about 20 minutes. And there's this one bit at the beginning where he says, I want you to imagine Jesus standing in front of you. And he says, just taking those burdens from you, right? And this week I was playing that and listening and going, Flip, that's everything. That's worry, anxiety, physical sickness, all that stuff. And he says, just look at the Lord in front of you. And he doesn't see the crowd, he sees you. It's beautiful the way he ministers, beautiful. And he says, he's not looking at everything, he's looking at you right now. And he's just saying, what is it? Just give it to me. And that beautiful thing of the Father ministering, Jesus ministering to us, and just saying, let me take that weight from you, because I tell you, sickness in your mind or your body is a weight. And he just says, let me take it. You don't have to live with it. You might be able to manage it. It might seem natural to you right now, but it's definitely not. It might seem normal, sorry, but it's not natural. That's not the way that you were made. Managing conditions is not Jesus saying, I'm the one who heals you. Amen? And so, let me just say this. I'm really going quite slowly this morning, aren't I? Is that okay? It's because I think you're all slow. It's a joke. You're not. The difficulty here is this, and I understand and appreciate it can be difficult, because Penny and I are human, okay? I want to ask you to lay your experience to the side so that grace can really, really grow in you. You might need to let go of some past disappointments this morning. And sometimes even before you start to receive, it's letting go of the past is really, really key. I'm just even sitting and saying, Lord, you know what? I don't understand. I didn't understand. I thought that I had. Even I was chatting to somebody this week and they were going, but I honestly think that I'm doing it all right. And I didn't want to speak in it, but I thought, but that's probably where it's not. You know, it's not about you doing right or wrong. It's about your revelation of Jesus, right? And so you're going to have to let go of some of those things. Let me just quickly push, because if you're asking yourself this morning, I'm saying that just to flag these things in your head, but truthfully, if you're asking the question this morning, does God heal, yes or no? You're asking entirely the wrong question. It's entirely the wrong question. You know, when we talk about the grace of God, we talk about getting right to the root. When you get right to the root, the rest of the tree will be healthy. So when there's stuff not going right in your life, the root of it is condemnation, yeah? Because when I feel condemned, I can't receive because I'm not worthy enough. Remember, we've talked about this. Oh, please, you remember this? We have talked about this, church, haven't we? Never heard that word before. All right. Okay, let me just get right to the root, because if the roots are good, the rest of it. So actually, does God heal or not? And this is why I love grace. This is why I love to be in a church that is about the grace of Jesus, because it has him at the center, right? And we ask questions that are different, because does God heal or not is going around the edges. Get right to the root. Do you want me to show you how? In Exodus, before I get there, the names of God are really important. God revealed is really important, because you'll know this, but let me say it. Names describe God perfectly. In the word, God's nature, his essence is absolutely revealed by the names that he gives us. We know this, don't we? Now, each one reveals something. Now, let me tell you something. Faith for you to believe again will come by hearing and hearing. So if you're sitting this morning going, I know this, okay? It's not about knowing, it's about living. And your faith, your belief, peace, these will come by hearing and hearing and hearing. And people can act contrary to their nature. You know, I am manly and strong, and that's what my name means, all right? Clearly. For all you doubters, Google it, all right? Andrew means strong, manly, sexy, intelligent, and any other words you care. I made up the last ones, right? But definitely means manly. And, you know, do I always act manly? No. So my name is one thing, but how I act can be something entirely different. But here's the thing with the Lord. His actions are always completely consistent to his nature. And all the name of God does, right, is tell you what he's like. Now, here's the unbelievable thing about Jesus. Once his names are revealed, it tells you what he's like, and that never changes. Never changes. It can't change, okay? And so we have Jehovah Nissi, the God is your banner. It means he glistens and shines. Shammah, God is with you. Do you know? Remember that song? No? I don't know who sang it. Jara, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide, and all that stuff. Okay? But even Jehovah Jireh, get it? Jireh. Anyway, so the, flip me, it's a tough crowd. And so the thing is, right, when it comes to Jehovah Rophe, in Exodus 15, 28, the first time that God's name is revealed as healer is in Exodus 15. Law of first mention is really important. I'll put none of these diseases, makela in Hebrew. And this means this. It means that there's an implication of spiritual, emotional, and physical healing in that word. So whenever God's name is revealed, Rophe, it's used 67 times in 62 verses. And you know what it means? It doesn't mean to heal. It means to make whole. It means to make whole. Right? And in wholeness, healing is a constituent part. So whenever Jesus reveals to you this morning, I just don't want to heal you. I want you to be whole. Do you see the difference? So actually what we have to see is we have to see Jesus. And this is why grace continually revealing Jesus doesn't reveal him as healer or not. It reveals him as wholeness. And wholeness and completeness is who he is. And when he says, I am the God who makes you whole, whenever he revealed that, he can't change it. He's utterly consistent. Phil used the word this morning, my ears pricked up, immutable. I'm going to talk about that actually in 1 wee second. You know, whenever I see my kids going towards danger, I pick them up and make it better. It's this father's heart. This is why I love grace. You know, what do I do whenever my kids are in danger? What do? Do you just kind of take away the pain but leave them there or what? You know, sickness is something that we fight against. And the father in us, in all of us, whilst it may be normal, it's definitely not natural. Instinctively, we fight against it. People who don't know Jesus go to the doctors all the time to medicate, get treatment. You know, the biggest worry that people have today, one of the biggest worries, top three for sure, is fear about the future, but normally related to health. You know, why is that? Have you ever thought about this? We reflect God in us. We are made in his image, and his image is perfectly well and healthy and whole. I have never met one person yet who was ecstatic to get cancer. Truthfully. But yet, I go, well, it sounds bizarre to say that up front, but yet we live with that. We live with actually something on the inside of us going, well, does he want, you know, I know that he doesn't want me sick, but does he want me whole? That's a different question, right? And this is really challenging, particularly when we have to deal with people who are going through sickness and going through pain. But those people who are going through sickness and pain, every time they encounter Jesus in the flesh, when we go back and read the word, what we see is they flock to him. Why? Because he had great theology? No, because they received their wholeness. And see, whenever you are receiving physical healing, actually, it wasn't about just physical healing for the Lord. Physical healing was not enough. He wanted to lift you into wholeness and completeness. So for every, I mean, there's literally for the thousands of people that Jesus healed, some recorded and some not, everything was about wholeness. Do you get it? It was about, I want you complete and full. I am not holding anything back from you. In fact, my heart as your father is I want every bit of your life to be completely whole in your mind and in your body. So when the physical healing was just a demonstration of wholeness, you get it? Because the woman at the well was an outcast. She was locked into all this kind of stuff. So the woman with the issue of blood, sorry, okay? And did she receive her physical healing? Yeah, but she received so much more, right? Do you get me? Only the physical healing's almost like, we've made it such a big thing, but actually I just go to a God of wholeness. It was about lifting you out and lifting you out into a place where actually now you're not an outcast. Now you're not ashamed. Now you're not dirty. Now you're not embarrassed. Now you're not condemned. And the physical healing was just a way to get you there. He wants you complete. He does not want you stressed. He does not want you anxious. He does not want you worried. He has so much more from you. That is Rophe, wholeness. Even as I'm speaking this now, you can receive healing. Do you get that? If there's something in you that goes, Lord, I receive, just go, absolutely, I receive. I receive in my mind. I receive in my emotions. I receive in my body. Because this is what happens whenever grace meets sickness. okay? Whenever God's unmerited favor, undeserved favor, and his undeserved kindness meets dysfunction, the heart of the Father trumps it all, and he lifts you to whole. I love that. Do you not wake up in the morning and go, I would love to be whole today? Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means for you to just go, I feel complete? So actually, if you have a view, what grace does, it elevate. See if people listen to a gospel today that leaves them going, this Jesus who you're singing to might want you sick. Like, seriously, would you bother? Would you bother? But this Jesus that we sing about, nothing impossible, nothing incurable, right? But more than that, his heart for me as my dad is just to make me completely whole. Not lacking in any way. Why? Because of his undeserved kindness. Oh, isn't he incredible? This is the Jesus that we love and we serve and we sing about. Let me just say this very quickly. You know, even when we see it in other people, isn't it funny? If you struggle, I remember taking Hope to get her injections because it took two of us because she's a sweet wee thing, right? But it was like holding a rugby ball because I remember I actually got really upset, right? Because with Ben, he was great, just stick needles in him all day. It didn't bother him. Hopey, though. Do you know what the nurse said to me? And it really, because she literally screamed the place down when she was getting her whatever they are, you know, when they're wee. And the nurse said to me, oh, it's probably the first time she's ever felt pain, like proper pain. And I went, and it was me. She was looking at me when she did it. You know what I mean? It's like, isn't that awful? And everything in me was like, actually, I remember getting quite emotional going, she was only a bad, but I'm going like, I would never hurt you. I would never hurt you. This is, do you know what I mean? It's like, why would you, and this thing going around my head, isn't it funny, even instinctively in you, can I just say, listen to those things? See that, that instinct to make whole and to protect and to make better, that is God-given in you. So don't let the enemy come in and tear away at that to go, but actually maybe sometimes Jesus works against that. That's you reflecting Jesus in you. So whenever you see sickness and dysfunction in somebody's mind or in their body, and you go, oh, and then you go, but hold on, does he doesn't, just go, absolutely not. Jesus in you is crying out for their wholeness. Do you get that? The Jesus in you and the Spirit in you is saying, I have equipped you with the very same Spirit that raised me from the dead, that put me in the place of glory today. That same Spirit is in you. And when that's you see that, then you go boldly and you declare that Jesus wants them well. All right? Jesus wants them well. Because that even, you know, if it's hard to think about it for yourself, instinctively, even with our kids or friends, what are you like whenever you hear that somebody's not well? Isn't it inside you go, oh, it's not okay? Yeah? Or you're like Dr. Evil's going, ha, ha, ha. But like, no, come on. Tell me, what happens? Isn't it inside you? You go, no. It's in you, it's gut, it's visceral. That's not the way this should be. That is God in you. That is grace in you saying, "When let me encounter that sickness." Because when grace meets sickness, sickness always bows. Every time. And we're going to have to unpack that because some of you are going, but. You've got to start and say, Lord, I have to have a rock solid conviction that you are about wholeness, okay? Because if you're a God of wholeness, consistent with your nature, then healing is absolutely inevitable. He wants you well. Let's not just put that into our bodies, but into our minds. Remember I said like when you get up in the morning, first thing in the morning, your first 20 thoughts are not normally, yippee, great to be alive, woohoo, unless you're weird, right? Or Penny, she's a wee bit like that. Great, we're going to do this. Da, da, da. But you get me? The Battle for the Mind. Joyce Meyer wrote a brilliant book on that. Battlefield for the Mind. Da, 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 da. Right? What's wholeness look like in there? When God is, I hope I'm making it, it makes perfect sense to me. So Jesus, I hope it's landing with you guys. It's like when healing it becomes a big issue in the yes or no, it's because Jesus has become smaller to you. Because when he's the God of wholeness and completeness, you'll receive your healing. Okay, let me just go very quick. I've already said it, like what's wrong with thinking that sometimes God heals and he doesn't? You have to build on good foundations. You don't want to bleed and leak over everything. And if you're in two minds about something, okay, Joseph, Pastor Prince did an absolutely brilliant devotional this week on this about the faith of Christ. In fact, Joe, could you send it to me again because I've deleted it, about having his kind of faith. It's what we found whenever we were waiting for Ben to come along, and Penny said, I know I'm going to get pregnant. And she described it, and then Pastor Prince this week put it into words. So it was quite exciting for us to read that, to go, this whole idea of real faith and all the rest of it. And it's just to say that if you can meditate this week on the God of wholeness, okay, what happens is your words then come from that place of where your heart is at. I've stood in many prayer lines for healing and having people look at me and go, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be better? And inside I'm going, well, outside you're going, yes, of course. And inside you're going, are you a flipping moron? No, I'm standing here looking like an Egypt because I actually don't know. Actually, let me just think about that. No, I'll live with this really sore neck for the next 6 months. Yeah? I mean, what a stupid question to ask people. Do you know what I mean? It's like, don't ever do that. You know, it's, of course people want to be well. But the thing is, I don't force me just to say it if my heart's not there. I will speak out the truth of who God is, but when I meditate on the God who wants me whole, then what happens is my real faith, the God who loves me, then what I do is my words reflect what comes from the inside out and not just trying to change things from the outside in. Because that's when we go, oh, my words have no power. It eats away at us. Meditate this week on Jesus, on the wholeness of Jesus. And know that in every area of your life. And then as the Lord just shows you things, just start to speak and say, thank you that you're my healer. Thank you that you're the one who makes me whole. And let me just finish by saying this very quickly. It's really, really important that you understand this week that real faith, real persuasion is a condition of your heart, and then your mouth follows suit. Okay, try to get that in the right order. One thing I just want to say this is God will not change for you. His mind, his will, and his nature is absolutely immovable, right? When everything else is going to fluctuate in your life this week, he will not. When everything else goes a wee bit funny, he will not. He's not subject to any change in his being. In Malachi 3:6, it says, I am the Lord, I don't change. Isn't that good? I don't change. I go up and down like a fiddler's elbow. He is rock solid. There's never been a time when he was not. There'll never be a time when he will cease to be. He has never evolved, God has never grown, and God has never improved, right? Jesus, all that he is today, he has forever been that from the beginning of time, and he will forever be that. He cannot change. This is what I love about the Lord, for the better. Jesus can't change for the better. Why? Because he's already perfect for you. And being perfect, he can't change for the worse. Isn't that awesome? He's completely unaffected by anything outside of himself. Therefore, he can't improve or deteriorate. It's not like the people that we have to deal with today. And Numbers 23:19 says, God's not a man, not that he should lie, nor a son of man, that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? All right? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? And who is this? Who is this? The glory of Israel. He will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not a human that he should change his mind. Let me just finish by saying this. And could you come up here, Becca, and just play? Before we take communion this morning, I just wanted to, I think there's a seed planted in some of you today that's going to see fruit this week. Do you get that? If you're wanting to receive. And I honestly feel like that's just, it's not about healing, it's about wholeness. So I think some of the social agendas today are, you know, right back to the beginning, God says, I want you whole. There's lots of agendas today that rob wholeness from people. Completeness and fullness. For us in the church, this is one of the biggies. So I'm going to do loads more on this, okay? I'm going to actually show you from the word later on in the year about the God of wholeness. But this is what happens when grace meets your lack. Right? And so even for just a couple of minutes, just close your eyes. Okay? Because probably, I would imagine for most of us, there's probably something that's gone on as I've even ministered this morning and the word has come where you felt challenged, provoked, upset, disappointed, whatever it is. But the Lord says, you know what? I'm here this morning to heal you in your body. If you need physical healing this morning, okay, do what I'd ask you to do. If you're sick this morning, when we come to communion, come up with faith and expectation of receiving communion, because there's power to heal in communion. If you're waiting on results, If you're waiting and it's been bothering you, it's on your mind, and you're upset and you're worried, come to the one who stands before you. Just imagine Jesus as you come up this morning, as you take his body and his blood, him standing saying, what is it that you need? Just draw from me and pull from me. Are you anxious? Are you worried? Give it to me. Are you disappointed? Give it to me. And I'll give you wholeness back. What about these conditions? Honestly, I feel the Lord, I'm honestly speaking into conditions. The way the Lord spoke it to me this week was conditions that you have lived with and you're managing. And the Lord says, I want you whole. And in your wholeness, you're going to discover five times more in every way. And he doesn't ask you to do anything. He doesn't ask you to build up. He doesn't ask for any of that. He just says, come and receive from me. That's grace, undeserved kindness. Probably thinking about all the things that disqualify you from being healed this morning. He says, not to me. If you could earn it, it wasn't grace in the first place. It's undeserved kindness. It's undeserved favor. But his heart beats with wholeness for you. His heart beats with such love for you. He wants to love you and mold you and shape you into wholeness. And so over your church this morning, Jesus, I pray that. I pray in body and in mind. I pray that in our emotions and spiritually, Lord, for everywhere that there is a lack and a deficit, I pray that the seed that has been planted today would bring about good fruit. And we speak wholeness in Jesus' name. Nothing impossible, nothing incurable. We speak life in the name of Jesus, knowing that you are ever, ever consistent and the same, true to your promise, true to your word. And so all we can do is say, thank you, Jesus. I receive. Amen.